I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody, and welcome again to Midlife Mavericks. I'm so glad you are here with me. If you are new here, we talk about everything regarding women in midlife having amazing lives. And that includes women who have changed careers, who have done incredible things in the second chapter of their life, and also women who can help us financially, spiritually, health and wellness, you name it, we talk about it here. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe, leave a review, give us 5 stars so that other women can find this as well. And if you are looking for a little bit of a dose of motivation and inspiration, head over to Amazon, grab my book, Daily Inspiration for Midlife Women, A Guide to Peace, Joy, Confidence, and Abundance. So today I want to talk about something that to me is pervasive across all generations and is becoming a real crisis in our world. And that is body image, the diet culture, and all of the body image issues that are coming up because of social media, because of a host of reasons. So I'm so excited to have Deb Benfield with me today. Deb is 64 years old, loving life, and she is on fire about body liberation and dismantling those oppressive beauty standards and diet rules for women in midlife. She's a writer, a lover of rivers, a body justice warrior. I love that phrase, a body justice warrior, and a single mother. She's in North Carolina, and she is becoming a short-term nomad. So we'll see. But Deb, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for including me. I'm excited to talk to you and your audience.
Absolutely. So, you know, look, I think that especially among teens and 20s, there's a lot of body image issues. But talk to us about how that's impacting women in midlife as well.
Yeah, my experience with my friends and my clients and myself is that, as we know, aging does make a change in your body composition, your body size and shape, and that's normal that our bodies change with time, but there's so much pressure to contain that and actually look exactly the same as you grow older, which I think part of us realizes is kind of ridiculous and unhealthy, but we kind of fall for it. We kind of feel like, indeed, to remain relevant, to still have social currency, to still feel like we're not invisible, that we can walk into a room and folks notice us, that we need to white knuckle around keeping our bodies the same over time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was on Facebook and a friend of mine has lost a lot of weight. She looks fabulous, but she made some comment in the post of, I'm almost back to the size I was at 18 years old. And I'm like, no, we're not 18. We don't have an 18-year-old body, nor quite frankly, do I want to. And let's talk about it from a health and wellness and strength perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm a registered dietitian and I have been for 35 years. And my practice has always been specialized in preventing and treating disordered eating. So I have a very different perspective on wellness. When I think about well-being, I think about the whole person. I include mental health. Because if you don't have your mental health, where are you? I mean, you may have some sort of perfect way of feeding yourself and body composition and lab work, etc. But if you're obsessive and anxious and rigid and feeling like you can't go out or travel? I don't know. That doesn't sound like what I would call well-being. So I feel like women need to really step back and consider what their values are as far as how you want to spend this chapter, which is a very precious time. How do you want to feel? How do you want to, what's your energy like? That to me is overriding, and that's my value. My value is feeling comfortable and like I have a high level of vitality, way more than what size I wear. So
Yeah. Last
that's
year
my value. I don't want to impose that on everybody.
No, but last year we had a guest on who looks at the health and wellness and skincare area and really looks at those companies that are talking about anti-aging and turning that around to pro-aging. So talk a little bit about that from your perspective and this whole idea of body justice warrior, because I absolutely love that.
I just feel like we have to look at the fact that our culture actually upholds a hierarchy of body, and there is a particular body that's held as worthy and superior and automatically has power and is welcomed. And that body tends to be thin and white and able and all the things we know, like the gendered and heteronormative and all the things, right? And as we age, we are less ideal. As our bodies change, we are less ideal. So it makes us vulnerable to want to grab on to things that make us pass as thin, pass as young. So I think it's important for women to understand that they have options. And if there is enough of us collectively passing, so to speak, on this hierarchy and stepping outside of it and say, you know what? I matter. I am worthy. I give myself my own time and attention in the body that I'm in, just as I am. That's incredibly powerful, but you have to be a bit of a warrior because there's a lot of pressure.
I say advocate as well. I mean, I think there needs to be a rising up of women in midlife who are saying, we're not going to accept the norm that society is pushing out there because we are healthy, we are strong, and we're financially powerful.
More than ever before. There are quite a few of us now, and I think if we decide individually and collectively that we're not going to fall for it anymore, I mean, there's a lot of power in that. A lot of the clients that I work with feel very isolated. They feel like they're the only person in their life that is not going to fall for the next diet program. So it's isolating for them. And I think the more we invite the conversation, the more people will feel like they can talk about it, that it's socially acceptable to talk about it.
We had another guest on a while back who talked about the concerning rise of diet drugs and even places like Weight Watchers that is now, accepting diet drugs. And how is that playing into it as well?
As I said, I've been doing this a very long time, and this most recent fad, because I'm going to wait and see. I feel very much like wait and see because I've been through so many of these. Like, will this be healthy long term? Because we don't have long term data. It's wreaking a lot of havoc in a lot of my clients who have done a lot of work to be able to connect with their bodies and trust their bodies, and all of a sudden there's a lot of doubt if they're doing the right thing. So that's a big question and a big conversation.
So who is your typical client? Who are they when they come to you, and who are they when they're completed your course?
So there are a couple of different kinds of women that end up joining. One is a woman who has experienced disordered eating or a clinical eating disorder earlier in their lives, and they have done really well in their recovery and they're living full and abundant lives. And health anxiety and fear, wellness culture, maybe even more than diet culture, the changes in their bodies are really pulling them back into their old thoughts and patterns. So they're trying to not relapse back into old, very preoccupying patterns and thoughts and behaviors. The other person that might come to me is a person who was just chronically dieted for the majority of their lives, especially adult lives. And they're sick of it, just really sick of it, just really ready to lean into a very different time. I feel strongly that menopause and this threshold actually offers an opportunity to get to know your girlhood self and to actually get reacquainted to a more authentic part of yourself. It can be a time that you've let all this drop away. I don't know how clean your show is, so I'm not using
go ahead.
Words that way.
No, go ahead.
But I know that everybody has said, I'm sure many people on your show have said, that you give fewer fucks. Sometimes. It's not always true. Sometimes people fall in even more tightly into giving a fuck what people think.
But that's it's your name.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because I fall firmly into that camp of I don't give a fuck.
Yes, me too, of course. But I think there are things that make us vulnerable to like big changes in your life, big losses that happen, I think, more commonly in midlife. One of them is the body that you're accustomed to having. And it makes you vulnerable to grabbing onto things because there are losses. And if your old default pattern is to try to control your body, you may do that again. So the kind of woman that has been through that struggle and is fearing going back, the kind of woman that has chronically dieted and just really wants to be free of it. Those are the two most common types of folks that come to work with me. And so when we finish, go ahead.
It sounds like you start off talking about the mindset way before you do anything else.
Yeah, my formula is to dismantle your internalized ageism, because we all have it, we all do. You can't not, because our culture is very youth obsessed and very thin obsessed. So to dismantle some of all of those beliefs and realizing what you're carrying so you can recognize what you need to work on when it comes to the story you have about your body. So that's the first piece. And the second piece is to cultivate a completely different relationship with how you care for your body instead of following all these external rules, like diet and wellness rules. What happens when you get curious about tasting your food, noticing your energy, really leaning into your own body and your own experiences in your body as your authority? You are your own best authority. So what would that look like to stop looking outside of you and start turning inward? So that's a big shift. So it's like self-care in a real way, like boundary setting, like really prioritizing yourself and your energy and asking for what you need so that you don't end up with that real empty place that is underneath a lot of our binge eating behaviors. And the third piece is to really start to develop practices. I think you can get the cognitive ideas down. You can shift your thoughts. But until you apply it in a daily way in small, small, small steps, you don't really feel the change take place. So those are the big pieces of our work. And it's all done in this wonderful, powerful group of women. That's another big piece, is the community, the sense of belonging that women have together when they can just like really talk about these vulnerabilities. There's a lot of power in that.
I agree. I think that anybody who has body image issues, it's very isolating.
Yes. There's a lot of shame, which sends you to the shadows. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so. What I've noticed about myself ever since getting into midlife is I did stop looking outwards, but I also became so much more acutely aware of my health and forgetting about what my body looked like, but how my body was responding and seeing friends who ended up having a stroke or all of that and saying, what can I do to strengthen my body? And does the whole idea of what's your BMI and what's your, you know, does that, I would think you almost have to stop listening to that as you get older to really understand what's right for you.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel myself getting pulled into a major tangent, so I'll keep this brief. But I call the BMI the bullshit measuring index
because
it really doesn't tell you anything. It really is not the metric to track. You can track your energy and certainly your lab results and your blood pressure, those are important. But your actual weight doesn't tell you anything about your health. And if people want to learn more about that, because that's a lot to look at, I highly recommend Maintenance Phase podcast. She does a beautiful job. Actually, there are two providers there, but Aubrey Gordon is a force of nature, and she really does a fabulous job of digging into the research and really making it fun and entertaining. It's not so dry. I mean, you will laugh and you will hear lots of swearing.
She sounds like my kind of woman.
Yeah, can it's you a know fabulous
the podcast again.
Maintenance Phase.
Maintenance.
I mean, anybody that's done any dieting knows that term.
Yeah.
Kind of a real slap in the face to the diet industry.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. So what's one practical way listeners can, like you said, get rejigger that internal ageism and get themselves out of that?
I would say, I think you have to have an underpinning of awareness of yourself to be able to do that. I think you have to recognize how you are relating to yourself. So there needs to be some practices in your life where you slow down and check in with yourself to be able to notice how you're talking to yourself. Are you believing something about your body, your capacity, your brain function? Are you falling for the myth? Like, for example, as we get older, we're stuck in our way. The research actually says quite the opposite.
Really?
We have the capacity for growth and an expanded, more spacious way of looking at life in this chapter. It's really beautiful and powerful. So to really look at some of those myths that you carry about aging and to do some practices with yourself so you notice that you're saying those things.
Yeah, I talk to my clients a lot about that as well, in terms of really having a sense of wonderment and awe of what's possible. And turning around that, what if it doesn't work, to, oh my gosh, it's going to be fabulous when it works.
I think sometimes we're afraid of what if it does work.
Right.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. So the other thing I think I'd like to talk about a little bit is this whole diet wellness culture. And I know where you stand on that, but so as we get into midlife, I am looking at how much sugar I eat and things like that. But how do you find that balance, right?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Sugar-free diet and everything like that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think sugar is probably the biggest lightning rod for this kind of conversation, because we hear so much about carbs and staying away from carbs. And the truth is, your brain requires carbs to function. If you are inadequate in your intake in general, and certainly in your carbohydrate intake, you are going to have a compromised brain function. The truth is, and I could talk about this for a very long time because we have fascinating research that I could discuss about this, that if your body is underfed, specifically carbohydrate, your brain will do the following. You will find yourself obsessing specifically about food. It may also include your body, but mostly it's going to be about food. When you find yourself obsessively thinking about food, you're likely hungry, even though you may not feel that way. Your brain starts to get anxious. Your brain starts to get fuzzy. You don't have as much capacity to get into your executive functioning. You're much more reactive. You're in that lizard brain place where you feel irritable and reactive. That sounds a lot like menopause, doesn't it?
It does. And I was also thinking, be cranky, have a piece of bread.
Yeah. Well, check in with yourself and see what's really going on. I mean, there may be a real good reason for you to be cranky, but if you may just want to step back and go, maybe I'm just hungry, because it's very true. Our underfueling, especially carbs, is contributing to some of the symptoms that we experience in menopause. I think it's worth taking a look at.
That's fascinating. And I would venture to guess that the average doctor is not going to tell a woman that.
Well, I don't think therapists and doctors know very much about this research. This research to me is very compelling, and it is running counter to all the pressure that the diet and wellness culture is sending us. So no, you're not going to hear about it because there's nothing to sell you.
Right.
There's nothing to sell you. It's like, yeah, you need to feed yourself throughout the day and not let yourself get too hungry. Absolutely.
Right. Right. And it is, it's permeating through every generation, but, and I don't think it's discussed as much about midlife women, right? Like, again, we're kind
100%.
Of to the side. We're looking at the 20-year-olds.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I feel strongly that the research and the conversation around eating disorders and disordered eating and body image and body positivity and all of that tends to be younger women. And the conversation around menopause is not looking at body diversity and eating disorders. There's this weird black hole happening that's really harmful.
You're absolutely right. You don't hear about body image issues for midlife women, I think, because we're just cast aside anyway.
Yeah, it's just the truth. Yeah, it's very frustrating. And in the meantime, women are struggling. I think women with disordered eating in this chapter of life are really by themselves. They're very isolated and feeling like they can't bring it out and talk about it. So we need to keep talking about it.
Right. And would you say it's more common than most people realize?
Absolutely. We don't have good data. We really don't have good data. I can tell you my experience, but we don't have good data that tells us exactly what the numbers are.
And especially when you are talking about, we need to eat the right things to make sure our body is functioning. I mean, I went for a calcium test and bone density test. Mm-hmm. And I have, the beginning of osteoporosis. I can't remember what that was. So I'm like, okay, well, I've got to eat more calcium. But then I started thinking, well, what's the right calcium? And so I'm already getting into that. I should not eat this, despite the fact that maybe I should. So what's a person to do?
Yeah, I know. It's so true. It's so true. I'm so compassionate and empathetic to the average consumer because it's overwhelming. I would say do not get your nutrition advice from social media.
Yeah.
I think just don't go to TikTok and Instagram to get your nutrition advice.
Right.
I'm afraid a lot of people do that. I mean, I know they do.
Absolutely.
It's very confusing. So there is a lot of junk out there. So they're just really.
You're not advocating for junk food. You're just saying eat healthy, but don't say no to anything.
Don't obsess.
Right.
And don't keep yourself hungry. I mean, you can eat beautiful foods. I think your body tells you. Your body tells you what, when you eat this, you feel good. When you eat this, you want to take a nap. I mean, there are definite feedback loops if we are slowing down and listening. Our body lets us know. So trusting, connecting with your body, listening to your body, and trusting your body is your best authority. The experiences that you have, trust your instincts, trust that information, and don't go on social media. If there's an account that's setting up doubt, unfollow. Do not follow anything that makes you feel doubtful about yourself. Follow the accounts that make you feel powerful.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of trusting your instinct is so foreign to so many women. We don't trust ourselves. I just had a conversation with some woman about why do we doubt ourselves so much? And I think we're so busy, we stop listening to what our body's trying to tell us, is screaming at
us. And we're taking care of everybody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're taking care of everybody else. And there's very little permission to prioritize curiosity about yourself. How do I feel? What would taste good to me? How would it feel if I ate that? Does this even taste good? I mean, there's so many reasons to slow down and give yourself your own attention. But that's not what we've lived like. So it takes these little practices to turn that around.
Yeah. I'm going to Italy in the beginning of October, and I'm so excited because it's one of my favorite places in the world. And it's the best place to eat because they eat slow. They enjoy it. It's an experience. And I don't think here in our fast food culture, we have the experience of eating anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really have always wanted to do a Reclaim Lunch campaign because so many people just don't slow down, just don't give themselves an hour to eat. Like, not at all. It's like usually checking your email and doing a bunch of different things at one time, or maybe you're even in your car running errands. Yeah. So I hope you have a great time in Italy. Yeah, they know how to do this.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we start going about mending our relationship with our bodies?
Yeah. Again, a big question. I think one of my favorite things to invite my clients into is to experiment with what it's like to step from looking at your body to being in your body. Step from objectifying and judging and being critical of what you look like in your body, and instead get curious about how does it feel to be in your body. So an example of that would be if you get dressed, don't look in the mirror as you get dressed. Do something to wear and maybe dance around your room, maybe just bend over, maybe squat, maybe do whatever feels good to you in your body and see how your clothing feels. I'm not saying don't look in the mirror. You can do that after, but first get curious about what it feels like to be in your body as one example of a way to shift this. So you can kind of get a little peek as you open that door a little bit.
I love that idea. And I even think about it now as, you know, it's fall and the feeling of having a cozy sweater on and just that, how that makes you feel. You're right. You're absolutely right. I love that.
Yeah.
So tell us, where can our listeners go to learn more about you? What are you offering? How can they work with you?
I am very active on Instagram. My name there is Aging Body Liberation. I am there too much. And you can find everything if you just go there, actually. Lots of links to my programming, and I do one-on-one coaching. I do small group coaching. I do a membership for people who have been through those two things. For people who have already been with me and done some work and then feel like they just want community and a sense of belonging with other women. So I have kind of three different levels of the ways that people can work with me. So I would say my website is my name, deborahbenfield.com. But if you go to my Instagram account, you can find everything else.
Perfect. And we'll put all of that in the show notes. And if anybody walks away with one thing from this, please, please, please hear, body image issues are not just for 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds. If you are in midlife, if you are struggling with eating disorders, if you're struggling with body image issues, you're not alone. Reach out, get the support, because our bodies are so important now more than ever in midlife. So Deb, thank you so much for being here. What is one last piece of advice you would give our listeners?
I would say the one last piece of advice is to see if you can offer yourself your own compassion. See if you can be kind, because all of this is inherited. All of this is learned. We weren't born into the world with this. We were handed all this, the special type commercial pension end, which like haunted all of us. This was all programmed. You were taught this hard, hard struggle. So you can unlearn it, but give yourself some compassion.
I love that. Deb, thank you so much. And everybody, have a great day and see you next time. Bye now.